the spirit and mind connection. And so let's go right into the Word. Let's go to chapter 12 of the book of Romans. So we're talking about on the topic of transformed and the spirit and mind connection. And so we're looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to focus on verse 2 of Romans 12. And so we're going to read the King James Version, and then we're going to read the New Living Translation of those two verses of the Scripture and go on to a few other Scriptures. We're talking about the transformed person, the spirit and mind connection. All right, he says here, Paul says, talking to the Roman Christians, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. So he's talking about brethren or the church or people in the kingdom of God who are in by new life in Christ Jesus. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is a good way to understand about the spirit life. And that is to say, I have a body. I live in a body. So you live in the body. Your body is not the real you. Your body is what you utilize in this world. Our body is just, a covering, so to speak. It's a part of you. It's not the real you. This physical body, this body that you see, that you have, it's temporal. And one day God's going to give us a brand new body when He comes. You know, the Bible says when He comes in the clouds, and when He comes in, we're going to be changing in a moment of twinkling of an eye. We're going to meet Him in the air. And so one day we will have a brand new body. But until now, you're going to have to keep your body and take care of it and feed it and nurse it and change it and clean it and do whatever you have to do. Exercise it and don't abuse it and so on. So the Bible says that you present your body as a living sacrifice. So you do something with your body, a living sacrifice and wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or it's the way you worship your God. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed. This is what we're going to talk about. Be not conformed to this world. When he talks about the world, he's not talking about this terra firma, this physical world, the land and trees and rocks. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the world, the system of this world that we function in, the values and the thoughts and the thinking of the world. He says, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let our lives be taken in, sucked into the philosophy and thinking of the world. But he says, be ye transformed. That word transform is a funny word. It actually talks about, the word metamorpho, or where we get the word metamorphosis, and that is a changing from the inside, a changing of the person on the inside. You know, I remember years ago we thought about, the Incredible Hulk, and he would change into another person. He changed into this green monster, and I can't remember exactly how he did that. Something happened to him in the chemistry of the world, but he transformed into another person. So God wants us. He said, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The Bible says you have to transform your life by renewing your mind, that you may prove. So why should we transform our mind? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God wants us to be transformed in our minds so that we can follow Him, so that we can know His plan and His purpose and His will for our lives. And so let me just go ahead and read it, King James, the New Living Translation of these two verses of Scriptures we just read. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, a kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. You know, what we do in our lives every day, you know, worship is just not something you do Sunday morning where you come and you sing a song, a special song, song that resonates with your being. You love the tune, you love the words, and you lift your hands and you worship God. So life is more than just, you know, singing a song, your favorite Christian song, unto God Sunday morning, shedding a few tears and getting emotional with the congregation and being touched in your emotions, and people think that's worshiping God. Well, it's part of it. But your whole life should be transformation of worshiping God. Your life should be a worship to God, the way you live, the way you deal with people, the way you deal with God in your secret time, in your time of free time. Whatever you do in life is a time of worship with God. And so that's what he's talking about here. Verse 2, do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Well, that sounds pretty good. Once we start learning to transform our lives by thinking on the way God wants us to think, and we'll be walking in the perfect will of God. Thank God for that. We can have that. So God wants a transformed life. He wants a transformed church. God wants to transform the church through the word, his living word. So God wants this transformed church. There is a transformation that goes on after you're born again. Supposedly, in all of us, but sometimes people take a little bit longer to transform themselves because they're very slow to get into the word of God. The Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Some people are not as quick to get into the word of God, and so they remain the same. Their thinking smells bad, so to speak. They don't change the way they think, and consequently, they don't feel any different, and they don't act any different. You know, the way you think really transforms your pattern of life or your conduct or the way you display yourself before this public world. And so we are transformed only through the renewal of the mind. Our minds have to be renewed. So there is a metamorphosis, so to speak, occurring in our minds. It starts to happen in our mind because, you know, your mind or your soul is a gateway to your spirit. And so what you feed your mind will consequently go into your spirit and lodge itself in there, and it becomes a part of you, and it'll make or break you or destroy you or give you more life or more freedom or liberty, and or can destroy you and cause you to be, you know, maybe in fear or maybe in bondage. So there's an occurrence that's going on. So changing into another person happens through the mind. So we are transformed through the mind. Our minds has to be transformed, not by reading, any kind of magazine or any kind of latest fad on what they're speaking about in the current world through Hollywood and other things like that and the news. But we're transformed by the Word of God. That's the only thing that can actually transform you is God's Word for the better. So a person's life is changed through renewing or thinking on the thoughts of God towards them. So change occurs in the mind first. God wants us to be changed through our minds. We change our minds when we know what God's will is or God's perfect will. And, you can get closer to God as much as you want to. Everyone here has the same opportunity to get close to God, depending on what you want in life. Some people just like to hang around, the church. Some people like to get inside the church. Some people like to work in the church. Some people like to know everybody. And some people like to go to God and pray. Some people don't pray. Some people pray a little bit. Some people pray a lot. Some people don't read the word. Some people sing a little bit. They don't sing too much. So it depends on who you are or what you want to do in life. That's going to really, in the end, change your life, and that we should associate with the things of God. When we change our mind, we will definitely know the perfect will of God. You know, people are saying, I don't know what the will of God is. Should I go and, go to this town? Should I work here? Should I work there? Well, if you hang around with the Word and get into the Word of God and just get sensitive in the Spirit, you'll begin to know the Word of God in no time. You can make decisions quite easily because, you're very discerning. You can know the difference of where you want to turn right or left, or you shouldn't go or take precaution or do something or don't do something. So God's perfect will can be known because it says that in there, and so we can only know that by transforming our minds. It's easier to discern the perfect will of God when we begin to fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God. This will enable you to fulfill the plan that He has for you and the purposes that He's made you, and walk in the perfect will of God and begin to be a person who adds on to the kingdom of God, not just takes all of them. Somebody who adds on to the church. Somebody adds on to the people's life. You know, some people that you hang around with, they're always sucking the life out of you or want something from you. You know, sooner or later, as you're born again, you're going to be someone who wants to give back in the community. You know, even the people that are in this world that are not Christian, they're not born again, they have this thing about giving back to the world. They have this, you know, they have this good morality. They know that it's good to give money, to give their talents, give their skills back, and do something in this world to help somebody. So there's people like that in the world. They're not even born again, but they know that this is valuable and changes people's lives and makes it a whole lot better. So the Bible says we are washed by getting in the Word. We wash our lives. We clean up our lives by getting into the Word of God. Our minds are washed by getting into the Word. So we cleanse our minds from the contamination and thoughts of this world. You know, as much as we like to think that we're always spiritual, we always have to get connected to the Word of God to see how unspiritual we become in very quick fashion, because we hang around the things of the world so much, and so we start taking on the thinking of the world, and we take on the patterns of the world, and we feel a certain way because of what we fill our minds with. So God washes us with His Word, or He cleanses our lives through the Word of God that comes to us. Notice what Paul's statements here are to the church at Ephesus over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. He said that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. You see, you can clean up your act. You can clean up your life by going to the Word of God and beginning to act on the Word. The Bible says in John, 1 John 1:9, 1:7-9, it says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and the Bible says that we can, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us. So that's the Word. The Bible says that the blood cleanses us, you know, cleanses our unrighteousness and puts us right standing with God. So the moment you correct yourself in your heart by saying, "Lord, that's not right, I'm going to change my ways," the blood of Jesus cleanses you right away. And you say, "Lord, that's wrong. I'm sorry about that. I'm following You." And then the Bible says He cleanses you. Thank God for that. So the Bible, you don't have to wait for your Sunday morning to have repentance. You don't have to go to a great gathering of people. You don't have to go to a summer camp to get yourself all prayed up and cry at the altar. You don't have to go to a special camp meeting. You can do that right now, praise God. You can do it right now by saying, "Jesus, I've been wrong. I've been a liar. I've been a thief. I've been doing some things that are not good, that I'm sorry about, and I'd be so ashamed if people knew what I was doing behind over there somewhere." So clean up your life. So the Bible says that we can clean our lives by going to the Word and asking God for forgiveness. But really, it's the Word of God that we act on. You know, our mind needs to be cleansed every once in a while by washing it through the Word of God. You know, we actually need to do that on a regular basis. So when you come to church, you know, we gather together and we wash ourselves with the Word every Sunday, every Wednesday. That's why it's a good practice to come to church, because it renews you. It cleanses you and you feel fresh again. You feel renewed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then you go out there and sin again. No? Well, it's up to you what you're going to do. So you clean your life out. So do it regularly. And, you know, depending how much time you spend in the world, how much you spend with the people of the world, and how much you spend your time on the activities of the world. And so the more you do that, the more you need cleansing. The more you need the time to start cleansing yourself from the things of the world, because you're beginning to fashion your life. You begin to follow and copy the world and the way they do things. So the word of God, the scripture says the Word of God is alive. It's a living thing. And if it's a living thing, it does certain things in our life. It's the food that you eat, you know, you go and get food in the store. There's some foods that are alive and some foods that are dead. And don't eat all your, put all in your shopping carts, everything that's dead food. Get some live food. Get some food that'll put nutrition in your body. Actually, there's some foods that will cleanse your body. And it'll freshen you up and strengthen you, give you life, give you strength. Don't just eat, you know, pop and chips and candy. And, you know, we all like that once in a while, but don't do that every night and every day. You know, learn to regulate yourself. Some people say, I like to do that once a week. It's my off day. I can just eat anything I want. But it's up to you. Notice this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He says, the word of God is quick. Well, I remember one French man that we knew, a good friend of ours from just down the road. You know, he read that, this minister was reading that. You know, he's got this really French accent, you know. I'm not really putting down French people, but I like to copy French people because, you know, they were the ones that taught us English. Back over there, I don't know how they did that, but I learned English from some French people. And then so he tells this pastor, and the pastor was saying, the word of God is quick. Then he says, you know, hey, pastor, he said, does that mean the word is fast? Well, it is fast, but the word quick means alive. The word of God is alive. It's a living thing. It's not, the word of God is nutritional, so to speak, to your body. It's alive. It'll bring life to you. And so it'll bring life to your mind. So the word of God is alive or quick and powerful. So the word of God is powerful. It's not a dead word. So you put that word in your heart, you put it to your mind, it's a powerful source of energy for your life. It'll change you, it'll change your thinking. You'll have a powerful mind. The more you put in your mind, the word of God in your mind, your mind will be powerful, very powerful. And so, you need a good washing in the word. Cleanse out that mind of yours. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. So the Bible says the word pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The word, it says the word of God, you know, it can differentiate between the soul and the spirit. So I understand this, the soul and the spirit are two different things. It's not the same thing. Some people think that the soul and the spirit are two different things. But, you know, the soul has kind of like different compartments. It has, you know, the soul contains part of the will and the emotions and the thoughts and all these kind of things, the feelings, emotions, and so you know, you can see how it's all tied up, and the way you think is the way you're going to feel. But also notice this over here, it gives us some other discernment. It says that divides asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. So the joints and marrow is actually the physical part of man. It's a natural man. Your physical body has joints and marrow. It has life in it, human's life. And, right in this scripture, it talks about spirit, soul, and body. Right in there, it talks about the triunity of man. And so there is a connectedness through the triunity of man. Whatever affects the body affects the mind. Whatever affects the spirit affects the whole being. So each affects each other. So, but the soul, you know, it's right in between the body and the spirit. The soul connects the whole everything together, because the Bible, somebody said, you know, this said the mind is a gateway to the spirit. But the spirit, you know, in the mind are the inside part of us. You know, your brain is a functioning part of your physical part of your body, but it's not. It's not your, when we talk about the soul or the thinking of man or the mind of man, the mind, you know, people use interchangeably the word mind and brain is the same thing. Well, no, it's actually different. The mind is different from the physical brain. The physical brain is the part of the physical body, and the mind is part of the soul, which connects to the spirit. And so these work together. So we have to have a real harmony between the, these three parts of our part, they're integral in terms of getting it harmonized so that we can walk with God in the way He wants us to walk in this world. So the Bible says the Word of God is powerful. One meaning is that it's transformative. The Word of God is transformative. And the Word is alive. It's life-giving. This Word is life-giving. It'll transform your life. It'll change you. It'll change you from bad to good, from unhealthy to healthy, from weak to strength, being strong. So this word is transformative. Our minds needs a good scrub every once in a while because it's been contaminated, as we mentioned, by thinking like the world. This world system is defiling to the spirit and the mind of man in terms of what God wants us to be like. We don't want to resemble the world. We want to resemble and be like Jesus. So the more we think like the world, the more we'll act like the world. And in fact, the body says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you read over there from verses 1 to 3, it talks about it there. Some people that are born again, spirit-filled, they speak in tongues, they prophesy. And if you look at their whole life outside of the church sessions or outside of meetings and prayer meetings and so on, you wouldn't even tell that they're born again Christians. They're acting like they're the world. They copy the world. Why would Paul say, do not copy the world? Why? Because Christians will copy the world. They'll be like the world if they don't change their minds. And so we have to understand this. And so if you read over in Ephesians chapter 4, you'll understand, I think in verse 17, the Bible says that we need to, you know, we can't be like the world. Let's go to that verse of scripture, Ephesians chapter 4. I feel like I'm being led by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 4, let's go to verse 17. No, let's go ahead and read verse 1 first, because I just feel that this will catch us up with giving us the whole thing. Are you guys okay over here, my staff? Are you guys doing okay? Praise God. Give me a thumbs up. Amen. Praise God. Even my wife is doing it. And everybody else in homeland, you give a thumbs up. Give two thumbs up. And stop watching hockey. Praise God right now. Ed Wesley, you better watch Pastor right now. If you're out there watching the hockey game, don't cheat on us now. I know Pastor Steve's here somewhere. I know he's got a Hawkeye. You got to watch him. Because I might do that tomorrow night. Praise God. Amen? All right. I'll be just as guilty as anybody else. Okay. Watching the scores. I love hockey. Amen? Well, we don't want to be like the world now. Watch out. Okay, so 1 Corinthians, or Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, you know, you got to be a prisoner of the Lord. Amen? I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love. You know, this. You read this, you know, I just can't get it. I don't understand the King James that much. I have to study it. Unless the Holy Ghost gives me, I don't always, you know, by chance, I have to study the Word, look at it from various angles. Now, because of that, I just want to look at it from the New Living Translation, if you don't mind, because it's better to read, I find, but, you know, I'm not as super spiritual as some people, because they can read the King James and know exactly what it is right away. But for me, I have to look at it from various angles, and kind of an angle guy, so praise the Lord. Okay, therefore I, the prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you, lead a life worthy of your calling. This is a new living. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. I think there's a song called Always Be Gentle, Always Be Kind. Okay. Be patient with one another. Okay? Be patient with one another. You know, how many of you people are just so impatient you're copying the world? Yeah, so impatient with everybody. And go to the, you know, the lineup there and trying to get your Timmy's and or wherever you go for a coffee. And then, this line is too long. Let's go to the other one across town. You go across town, drive half an hour, and that line is twice as long. But anyway, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with one another, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. I have to do that a lot with Pastor Kent. I have to make allowance for a lot of his faults. And make sure that we get along together. You know, I sent a copy actually to a Swiss City with Pastor Ken. We're having a great time. I took a picture. We were doing a taping. I sent it to his brother. I said, please come and get your brother. He said to be an LOL. He don't want them. Okay, anyway. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope in the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all, through living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That's why scriptures say, when he ascended on high, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Not that he says he ascended. Clearly, it means Christ also ascended to the lowly world. The same one who ascended is the one who also ascended higher than the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts which Christ gave to the church, apostles and prophets and evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come in unity in the faith of the knowledge of God's Son, we be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be immature and like children. We won't be tossed, blown about by every wind and teaching, new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound. They'll be like the truth. Instead, they'll speak the truth in love, or we will speak the truth in love, growing up in every way more and more like Christ. So the more we get into the Word, the more we represent Christ, the more we will be like him, the more we'll resemble him. The church, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and grows full in love. Verse 17, this is where I was going to go to in the verse of placement. With the Lord's authority, I say, live no longer as the Gentiles do. That's the people, he's talking about the people that are outside of the kingdom of God. You know, at that time, the Gentiles didn't have the word. These Jews had the word from God, from Jesus himself. They were, you know, the new people that were born again. For they are hopelessly confused. You know, they say this world is hopeless. You know, people are looking for clarity. But, you know, clarity is given through the Word of God. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander from far from their life that God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't so. That isn't what you have learned about Christ. Since you have learned about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So how is the Spirit of God going to renew your thoughts and attitudes? By giving you the Word of God, that putting the Word of God in your mind, changing your mind, so that you won't resemble the world, you won't emulate the world, you won't copy the world, you won't do the things they want to do. You know, some people are doing things; they're born again Christians, but they don't understand. They're not doing the will of God, and so we shouldn't condemn them and say, "Look at those poor guys; they're so carnal." You know, we were all the same way until the word got into us. So it's no sense judging other people about what they're doing or not doing. You know, just mind your own business and follow God and try to help people by walking God and God's word and showing them love and practicing the principles of God's word. And you'll have an opportunity to speak into their lives when you earn that right by being respectful and by being trustful and faithful to the word of God. And they'll open up to you sooner or later. So the Bible says in this last verse of Scripture, it talks about that put on the new nature. Or let's go to verse 22. Throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. You know, sometimes we need a brand new attitude. Let's go back again. I just want to take that little journey there and to show you that these guys were born again Christians. These Ephesians were born again spirit-filled Christians. They spoke with tongues. Over in Acts chapter 19, you see there, I believe it's chapter 19, verse 1 and so on. It talks about them there. They were brand new in the Lord, and Paul went there and he told them, you know, have you and his disciples go over there to talk to them, and The believers went over and said, did you know about the Holy Ghost? You know, he said, we didn't know there was any Holy Ghost. They got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. And these are the same people, Ephesians 4, when Paul told them, you know, be filled with the Spirit. I believe it's 4:19, says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. So God wants Christians who have been filled with the Spirit, Holy Ghost, he wants them to have a fresh infilling on a regular basis. And when we're closer to God, walking with God, we won't emulate the world. We want to follow God. God will give you the strength, and God will give you the desires every day to want to be formed like him, to think like him, and to renew our thoughts and minds so that we can walk in God's perfect plan. So our minds need a good scrub because of the contamination living in this world, because we walk in this world. And the Bible says in John 6:63, just like, you know, it talks about the word of God is quick. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, that quickeneth or gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. In other words, the word of God is spirit. It's alive. They are alive. The word of God is spirit. The word of God is spirit. The word of God is alive. And it's, you know, the word of God is spiritual. It's alive. You know, the thoughts that come to your mind, they're not physical things that come to your mind. They're spiritual. They can come from evil or they can come from good. And you're going to have to watch out because thoughts that come to you are either negative or positive, evil or good, God or the devil. And you have to, the only way you can know the difference is through the Word of God and understanding God's Word and picking up on it and sensing it. You know, I was looking at, you know, every once in a while I get these information from Jerusalem. I get a newscast from Jerusalem, and they say that these there's a war going on, and you know, when the Israel's enemy sends these missiles, and they have this shield and I forget what they call it, this dome, and you know, if they send a missile and then they send another missile to intercept that and blow it up in the air, and destroys that weapon or the weapon of destruction that coming to the Israelites. You know, we can take a lesson from that, and because, you know, when the devil sends a thought to you, just send up a missile, send up a word of God, and destroy that thought. And you can stay alive. And you won't be destroyed by it, because those thoughts are sent to destroy you. The enemy wants you to think like the world because he wants to destroy you. He wants to send destruction of thoughts of destruction of sickness, disease, weakness, poverty, lack, defeat, failure, negativity, you know, depression and anger and all these kind of feelings and all these spiritual things, these spiritual sins. And he wants you to stay low and out of the will of God. So Jesus said, my spirit is, my word is spirit and they're life. So the word of God is life-giving. It's life-changing. And we got to get to the Word to change our mind, to change the way we feel about things. And the only way you're going to change the way you feel is get into the Word of God. If you hate somebody, find out scriptures about love and how the Bible, Jesus said, love your enemies. He didn't just say, feel good about them. You know, when you love someone, you might not feel good about it at the moment to love them. It's a principle. Love is a principle. Love is active. We should act out love. And so we need to express that love through the Word of God. So the thought of God, you know, let's think about the thought of God, the thoughts of God, the thoughts of God. What are the thoughts of God? And what can the thoughts of God do for us? The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 7, the King James Version said, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. I guess, you know, you see there, there's an exclamation marks. How precious are thy thoughts, O God? That's what he's saying. He's very emotional about it. How great is the sum of them? So God's thoughts are beautiful. They're incomprehensible, too numerous, too wonderful, too many to count, to consider. but they are many thoughts of God. They're beyond our apprehension of understanding. They're beyond our ability to know them all. But God wants us to start learning them. And so unless God reveals them to us, we cannot know them by His Spirit. It's only when we study the Word, He'll give us comprehension. How much you consider them will be worth the value in your life. It's how much you look at them. That's the value that will be considered to your life. So His thoughts are just not informative or just information. They are life. His thoughts are life-changing. When you start thinking about God's thoughts, they change your life. They change how you feel. One thing, I was thinking about something, I was going through a suffering. You know, we all go through sufferings. You know, every one of us, don't care who you are, how long you've been on this earth, you're going to go through something that's going to be detrimental in your life. And I was thinking about something, and the Lord reminded me of His thoughts about me. He said, everything, you know, Psalm 138, verse 8, it says, you know, everything you're concerned about, I'm going to take care of it. He said, everything you think about, every concern you have, I'm going to make that a perfect plan, perfect to my will. And I'll make everybody around you pray about, everybody you're concerned about in your life and your family, I'm going to make them think like you. Because if you hang on to me, I'm going to make them think like you because you're praying for them. And if you pray this word, you know, the Bible says, Philippians 3 and 13, you know, I believe it's over there, it says in there that God will give people the will, even if they don't want to. You know, God will give you the want to. He'll give you the want to serve Him. He'll give you the want to. He said, I don't want to pray. I don't want to read my Bible. God will give you the desire to follow His plan, His purpose, and His will. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, you know, God told the Israelites, you know, if you follow me, I'll change your children. I'll change them. Even if they come in fighting. I have seen my kids fight, you know, the will of God. And it's not perfect. It disturbs all of us. But He's going to change them. One by one. And the devil doesn't want them to change because, you know, being a pastor, being a leader in this community or around the world, the devil is trying hard to get rid of my children, to destroy them, to get me out of ministry. But he's not. He's not. I said he's not. And if you allow him 1 hour, one day to try to convince you otherwise, but that's why God shows me, hey, my thoughts beyond you, I have a great plan for you. I have a great plan for your children. I have a great plan for your ministry. I get great plan for your life. You're going to be more and more powerful than ever, than before. The Lord says to me, I'll be more influential, more powerful than I ever am now that I'm at this age. You know how old I am. Getting old. No, I'm not getting old. I'm getting renewed day by day. Okay, so this outward man, I'm sure I'm going to have a few more wrinkles. You know, but I'm strong. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 92, that I'm going to be greener and more fruitful the older I get. Thank God. You know, I heard one man of God says, he's going to live to be 100, 120. Praise God. Well, 94 is not that far away. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the thoughts of God are so powerful, they can create things that you've never had before. God's thoughts can create a vision and can create a life beyond your description. It can be life-changing and transforming if you focus on God. God's desire, His desire is for us to think on His thoughts so that we can be transformed to be like Him, to carry out His will and plan upon the earth. His thoughts are more valuable than gold or silver, the Scripture says. His thoughts, imagine, you know, how powerful money is. You know how much you can do with $1 million right now. You know what $1 million will do right now for you? Well, it doesn't have that much value than 20 years ago, but it's got a lot of value. I can go buy a brand new car. I can buy a brand new house. Whatever, you know, it's going to be gone in no time. But getting the Word of God in you, the Bible says, more valuable. And you know, in my estimation, naturally speaking, hey, how could that ever be? But the Bible says it's so. If you had $1 million and you were sick and ready to die, $1 million is not going to change it. But if God gives you a word that you can get out of that chair right now, get out of that bed and get rid of all that sickness, get rid of all that pain and destruction, hey, that's more valuable than gold. And your wife is leaving you tomorrow, your kids are walking out on you, and your bank account is going down and losing your business, and God gives you a word and changes that in a moment, is more valuable than gold and silver and rubies and everything else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The psalmist said the law of the Lord is worth more than gold. It's more valuable than anything else. Psalm 19, verse 10 says, they are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They're sweeter than honey. The word of God is sweeter than honey, even honeycomb, dipping from the comb. That's a sweet life. See, the sweetest life you can ever imagine, God's word is better than that. Better than the best things you can enjoy. You know what? You are more than just a physical body. You know, people, people of the world, they don't know that they're not assured for sure. They think they kind of have an idea there's a life beyond this. But we don't know. It's a mystery. We don't know if there's life beyond this world. And we better hang on as long as we can, you know. And if you die, well, too bad. We don't know where you're going. But as a Christian, you know where you're going. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. People who've died and have been born again, they're better off than you ever are right now. Many forget that they're more than physical beings with desires and feelings. In fact, the Bible says we are essentially made up of three parts, as we mentioned before, spirit, soul, or mind, and body. Because some people use the mind, you know, as an extra thing. They say spirit, soul, mind, and body. But no, the mind is actually the soul. People don't understand that. You know, people mix psychology and spiritual things, but they don't understand. The Bible teaches the subconscious in the psychology. The subconscious is the spirit, of man. They know, the doctor says, we know there's something besides a person, his mind and thought. They say there's something more that they know there's a will in a person. They said if a person loses his will, we need to get that will from that we desire. We make a decision from our mind, get it to our spirit, and we can stay strong in the Word of God and live out our lives. So, in our opening scripture, we have seen spirit, soul, and body. It says that we need to transform our minds and harness our bodies and control everything by our spirits. Over here in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, the word you is talking about your spirit, your inner man, your spirit being. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you, that's your spirit, you present your bodies. In other words, your body has a spirit. Oh, excuse me. Your spirit, your inner man, your spirit has a body. That's what I'm trying to say. So this here, this is my body. It's not your body. It's my body. And so my body, I can control my body. So my body has certain appetites. It has certain kind of desires. My body has certain kind of impulses. And so I have to control that. You ever feel like slapping somebody? Well, you can control that, especially if they're bigger than you. you can control that. Somebody says, I can't control this. No, you can control it. You just let it get away on you. Now, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is reasonable. So now, your body has to be a living sacrifice. You know how hard it is to control your body without your spirit. If your body wants to go for a cigarette, if it's used to that, it'll just go and smoke. You just follow your body. So if you change your mind and make some decisions, and you put that in your spirit, it'll control your body. That's how you get healed. Put the word in your spirit. God heals you from the inside, and your body will respond at some point. So we gotta hurry here. So which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable perfect will. As we mentioned, you is the born again part of you, and it has a body and it has a soul. And so we have to do something with those two parts, our bodies and our soul, our mind. So if we transform our mind, this is the difference between, this is the body, this is the soul or the mind, and this is the spirit. So the spirit or the soul or the mind is you know, it begins to put these two things together, and that's how we can change our lives. It's changing the mind and transforming our lives. So there's a connection between these three. That's what I'm talking about. So the Word of God is quick and powerful, the Bible says. So right now, there's some thoughts that are destructive to your life. The Bible says, Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnally minded. That's thoughts without Jesus, without God, without the Holy Spirit. Empty thoughts, just fleshly thoughts. Desires of the body without the Word of God. The mind, to be carnally minded, the word minded means to be thoughtful of. To be carnally minded or be thoughtful is death. It leads to death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, mindedness, or minded, refers to the thinking or thoughts. Carnal mind, to be carnal or to have carnal thoughts continually can eventually kill you or destroy you. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Thoughts are spiritual things. And they can come from good or evil. Notice over here, Matthew 18:18-19. Verily I say to you that whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth, the word agree means to harmonize together. If two of you shall agree or harmonize together on earth as touching anything. I want you to say this, touching anything. That they shall ask, it shall be done for them, my Father which is in heaven. So if two people agree right over here of something that's happening over there, 1,000 miles away, 100 miles, 2 miles away, and you can't get there, you can touch something with your thoughts because of the Spirit. If you take God's thoughts and make them your thoughts, and you agree with that by touching it in agreement, it'll change your life. So we want to let you know, this is not touching something physically or natural touching. It's something that's happening in the spirit world. Jesus is talking about something spiritual. That's what he's trying to get to. If you touch, those of you agree, touching anything. So agree in your mind, agree in your heart on something. So that's what he's talking about here. So we need to renew our thoughts on what God thinks concerning anything in our lives, begin to focus on that, meditate on it, not on carnal things or sinful things, but agree with God, harmonize with him, there'll be a change in our lives. Begin to agree with God. Touching God in our thoughts. So we pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus for everyone watching this session tonight on the connection between the spirit, soul, and body. Connection of the mind. Connection of the mind, of the spirit, and the body. Change your mind. Change your thoughts. Make that connection good. Start thinking God's thoughts. We give you praise, Father, for every person as they yield their mind to you. We say this, Lord, I change my mind by thinking your thoughts. Lord, I change my behavior by checking myself according to your word. I change my thoughts by looking to your word and agreeing with your word. I wash my brain, I wash my mind by thinking your word. I give you praise. There is a connection in the spirit by our thoughts, in our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. We see